Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You know, what's remarkable, I think I've listened to about probably about 100 and I don't know how many episodes you've done so far. It feels like hundreds, but I know it's
we've done close to 90.
Getting close to.
There we are.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what?
Getting close to 200.
I've listened to the vast majority of episodes. The vast, vast majority. I mean, there were some Christmas ones that frankly went down a rabbit hole that I was just not prepared for. And daily.
They were fuck acts. Yeah, yeah.
Daily. Yeah, they were fuck acts. Daily Reese and Jesse is, you know, there's limits to, to my sanity. But I've listened to so many of them. And what struck me about this particular record is we're now 10 minutes in. It's after that many episodes, how so unprepared Jesse is. It's
all the time. I mean, that's my
remarkable. Remarkable.
It's two years in my job. I know my job. I know my position. My job is to be unprepared and to not know anything.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thought?
The word was F-A-R-T.
So, hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. I'm Reese Waters. With me is Jesse.
Hello.
Hello. We're doing a bonus show with my good friend Owen Williams, who is also a listener of the show. Who's fed up of me butchering the Welsh language and introducing it wrong to Canadians. Hi, Owen.
Owen, say hi, but in Welsh.
Pnawn da. Well, actually, it would be noswaith dda here, good evening, because it's actually 18 minutes past 8 in the evening, whereas for you, I guess it's about 2:18, 5:04, 3:18. I don't know.
Shemai, is that appropriate?
Well, Shemai is the common greeting here, particularly in South Wales.
Shemai,
Jesse. Shemai, and it's effectively...
Shemai.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. Iawn diolch, Jesse. Well, I'm good, thank you. Shemai is effectively, how are you, or how do, or how are you, or hey. So that's it's effectively...
Sup.
It's sup, yeah, sup. It's a colloquial greeting. So shumai.
I can trade that with a greeting that I learned that I guarantee neither one of you know, and it's nonverbal. It's a nonverbal greeting strictly from Newfoundland, quite possibly from Bona Vista, Newfoundland alone, although some Newfoundlanders will probably correct me on this. And you take your, I'm not kidding. This sounds like I'm going to make this up. I'm not making this up. You take your chin and you crank it to the side. Okay. Like real quickly, like, and then you make a little click with your like that. So it's like, you're trying to crack your own neck.
I've seen that done. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah,
but like it's like you've got a spasm in your neck, like your whole head. It's like you're trying to touch your temple to your shoulder, like your chin kind of goes up to the side real quick, like that, and you, like that. So,
yeah, that sounds familiar. I think
that doesn't surprise me, seeing as how Newfoundland is all from, you know, over on that side of the island.
Isn't it a lot of Scottish in Newfoundland?
Yeah, and Irish.
A lot of Scottish. Yes, yeah. A lot of Irish, yeah. A lot of Scottish. Yeah.
I've watched a few since Rhys emigrated. I've watched a few sort of movies from that area, you know, where there's a Maud is one of them, on the artist. Nova Scotian artist, New Brunswick artist. I can't remember.
Oh, yes, Nova Scotian.
Trouble for this. Yeah, Nova Scotian. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful artwork.
But Maud Lewis.
Maud Lewis. Thank you. Maud Lewis.
That's right.
Movie's called Maud. Maud. Maud Lewis. It's called Maud.
I've been to her house. Is in the art gallery in Halifax. The whole house.
Maud.
It's not very big. It's like a shed, but it's cool.
Yeah, no, the movie's all amazing, right. But the accents, I think, because it's less of a sort of Atlantic seaboard accent, and because travel around was a lot more difficult in those days, I think, once you arrived, you stayed, the accents are a lot more sort of unique. And I noticed that, and I've noticed that Newfoundland, I think you did an ep on Newfoundland not so long ago, or last year, I think it was, and... Yes, strange, different accent to Nova Scotia.
And they've got their own time zone.
Oh, yeah.
They really do.
And it's a half hour.
No.
Yeah, past. Yeah. It's true.
I only learned this really recently on Twitter, that time zones can vary by sort of 10 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes. It's so strange. It blew me away. I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
So Newfoundland is in his own.
I've had to be convinced. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had to convince people that Atlantic Standard Time was a thing. Everyone thought I was an Eastern Standard, and that's where
everyone
ended.
Assumes like we're the same
Eastern
time
Standard
as New York.
Ocean.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're way east of New York as you look at the map of the globe.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. Owen, I got a question for you. How do you say... if you go to a drive-thru in Tim Hortons and you decide you want to confuse the Canadian and you want to ask him Welsh, how do you say, please may I have a box of 10 Timbits, please?
So Timbits are a brand. So for a start, you just say Timbits. However, I was thinking about this, Reese, and Bits. Thanks, Reese. Bits. Oh God! Honestly, listeners, you'd be so surprised how disorganized Jesse was when he arrived to start this. It was just unreal. It was everything I wanted it to be, but sort of worse and better all at the same time. Timbits. So I would say Tam-eyed Tim, but that sounds
Tam-eyed Tim.
I'll be completely blunt with you, gents. It sounds disgusting when it actually, it's a sort of a little bit of Tim. And that's not, that doesn't work at a drive-thru.
Little bits of Tim.
Let's see if I can amp it up a bit.
So you would say,
I want to see if we can amp it up a bit. How would you say, I would like to jiggle Timothy's bits in my hands?
Hoffun fidlanda pethe timi and vanuila. But however,
Jesus, and that's just, I'd like honestly, to jiggle Timothy's bits in my hands.
Yeah, but just don't. Timothy. Sorry, I thought you said Timmy. Hoffun. I remember this episode is very good. Hoffun fidlanda pethe Timothy and vanuila osqueladi vodn dda. Honestly, Jesse, don't go into a bar and say that. Jesus, don't do it.
I couldn't remember for the life of me.
Well, I'm glad in a way. I mean, frankly, it's only Welsh speakers who listen to this right now are going, yeah, fair play. You'll never repeat that.
Yeah.
or Reese.
Reese, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you a little bit about my history with the Welsh language. My great grandfather didn't speak any English at all. He only spoke Welsh. And then my grandmother got beaten at school for speaking Welsh. Yeah. And also he discouraged her to speak Welsh because he just didn't think that she would get anywhere in life if she spoke Welsh.
Yeah.
And then, so then I'm a product of all those people who grew up in that environment who's like generationally forgot Welsh on purpose. And then I never had, my Welsh teachers were always so aggressive. They were, you know, some Welsh speakers who are very defensive of the language are just they're so defensive, they get quite angry when people get it wrong. And they were those kind of teachers, which wasn't a good learning environment when they got angry at you for getting it wrong while you were trying to learn. So,
it's an awful experience you'd have had there. However, I would say those teachers were a product of what your great grandfather and grandfather went through.
Oh, yeah. So, I get why they were angry.
Oh, yeah. They were furious.
They used to beat my grandmother.
Yeah. They were absolutely furious. They'd come through a system where they were probably beaten for speaking the language that they probably couldn't shake because that's what they grew up speaking. Exactly. I mean, it's the history of how particularly English settlers in Wales have treated the native tongue of Wales, the indigenous language. Think about Nova Scotia and Mi'kmaq. You think about the Arcadian people. Think about the way I've done some reading, Jesse.
This is dangerous territory now. We've already exceeded Jesse's knowledge.
Yeah. But think about the way.
Can I be excused? My brain is full.
I'm a Welshman. I'm a Welshman who doesn't live in Nova Scotia, teaching you about Nova Scotia.
To be fair, Jesse, you probably do know about the Arcadians. And
I do know about the Arcadians. Yes.
Good man. Oh, he's been listening to you,
Reece. Sad if I didn't.
I think it's one of those things. You had these English settlers in Wales, and they effectively tried to change the tone and the timbre of where they were settling. And, you know, place names had their names changed and streets had their names changed. And, you know, Welsh was forcibly removed from schools, and it was called, you know, there was the betrayal of the blue books. They sort of took Welsh away from people and just said, no, you can't have that. And, you know, Jesse, you may not have heard of this, but Reece might be able to go into detail on this at some point. They flooded valleys in Wales to give English citizens water, flooded Welsh-speaking communities, filled it with dammed off these Welsh-speaking communities and filled it with a reservoir. And then you end up with... Yeah. It was called Capel Celyn.
When there's a drought and the water's low, bits of the buildings poke out.
See the houses. And this happened within my parents' lifetime. I mean, it's...
Oh, my God. Were people living there? Were they removed?
People were living there, and they were forcibly removed from the valley, and the valley was flooded in order to send water over the border to England. And every Welsh MP at times sat in Westminster, voted against it, bar one Conservative MP, and the motion passed, and they flooded the valley. So there's a wonder...
Somebody set a bomb off as well, didn't they? Oh, yeah. To try and destroy the...
It's a torrid history, but the... You know, and now... It is largely, although grudgingly in part, but largely very much accepted as part and parcel of what it is to be Welsh and in Wales. And even if you don't speak it, it's generally accepted to be part and parcel of the whole cultural experience in Wales. You know, you can't get away from seeing Welsh signage and, you know, road signage is all bilingual, it's two languages, and, you know,
you had a Twitter argument about the in Canada, obviously everything's bilingual. If you buy like a milk or a bar of chocolate, everything's bilingual in French and English. And you said, hey, can you take some photos of things you've bought, the post that you could share on Twitter to show that it's there's bilingual stuff in Canada.
I did because
you'll have to do it for us then. I want to see like glacé raisins in Welsh.
Well, the country in which you live is a lot more mature in terms of a general acceptance of, I wouldn't say the people, because I don't really know, but in terms of the way the government has embedded the French language into everything you do. And to such an extent as it's in shops and not only on signage in store, but also on the products you buy. That certainly doesn't happen here. There are a few items here where there's Welsh on the labelling. It's very rare indeed to see that. So because we share a massive land border with England, and, you know, it's the same trading arrangements, it's it would be very difficult to convince to put in that legislation, but not impossible, in my opinion. Not impossible. Oh, this is going down a rabbit hole now that your listeners
probably... I know, I was going to say, this is become the Welsh...
Isn't this a comedy show?
Any questions, Jesse, so far?
Nope. This is fascinating, honestly.
It's a first.
Just too fast.
I mean, it does remind me of... it does remind me of you know, Quebec's ordeal inside of Canada. Quebec has been for a very long time, from what I understand, afraid, and rightfully so, of losing their culture and their language to being overwhelmed by English coming in. And so, you know, they, you know, I don't know the full history of it, but like having Canada, you know, be bilingual in every sense of the word has a lot to do with, you know, trying to maintain culture and language inside Quebec, which, you know, I understand and I'm all for. I get that. So I'm Welsh, or Wales is a much smaller location and probably a lot harder to sort of influence the surrounding governments.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but
arguably, Welsh and its predecessors before it, the language from which Welsh was eked, so the Brittonic languages, the original language of the island of Britain. So the island of Britain, Great Britain, you know, it was called, what was it called? Brittany or something, but way back when the Celtic peoples lived here, before the arrival of the Anglo-Saxons. So the Anglo-Saxon and Germanic languages is where the English language came from. So all came from Saxon area and, you know, from the those German sort of, what's now modern Germany, that sort of area. So they came into this country after the Romans and effectively changed the way language was spoken here. So, but prior to the Roman arrival, the language of this island was the ancestor of Welsh. And there's an area of North England called Cumbria, and that name is based on the old Roman name for Wales, Cumbria. And Cumbrian was the language they spoke, and that was a form of Welsh language. It was a form of the Brittonic language. And then Brittany in the north of France and Normandy, they spoke versions of the language that we speak. And there's an Isle of Man, which is a crown dependency land, which isn't in the UK, but sits between us and Ireland. They speak.
I don't know a lot about the Isle of Man, but I was invited by a filmmaker in Texas to go to their personal film festival in the Isle of Man. And I can't imagine there are a lot of film festivals on the Isle of Man. So
the Celtic Media Festival.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. If it was the Celtic Media Festival, I've won 3 of their awards.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool.
I've never been there to collect it in person. I never made it.
So. I feel like listeners don't know about Reese's storied history in Welsh.
He's a cartoon character that keeps his history to his.
It is
close
remarkable.
To his chest.
It's remarkable what he's
Reese's
done.
History.
Yeah, there's a whole podcast on Reese's backstory, but he's never going to go.
Jesse's not impressed by my background. He doesn't care.
Yeah, it's.
And,
I mean,
and
you know,
it's amazing. Amazing.
Like, that's. I mean, cocaine's a hell of a drug, you know. So, like, he's a workaholic.
There's a lot of people. A lot of people in this industry speak very highly of you, Reese. You know that. But he's trying to keep this
really?
In because he's.
They've never said that to my face.
Christina McCauley speaks very. Christina McCauley very highly of you.
Who else in Welsh television likes me? Keep that going.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Owen, to get back on track,
let's do it.
Welsh language, I've got a segue to get us back on the Welsh language.
I like how you arrived late, but now you're trying to segue.
Oh, yeah. I would like you to really gruesomely, graphically insult me, but with the tone that it's a compliment, and then afterwards, compliment me with the tone of an insult.
Okay. Jesse Mutin. Bidin eithafol, mae gen ti wyneb fel penol buwch am yw'n ti'n llyfu dy fam.
So that didn't, that just sounded like you were reading off like a grocery list. You have to,
what did you say? What did you say?
I said you're an extreme penis. You have
that's true.
An extreme penis.
You have the face of a cow's ass, and you lick your mother. And you know, it's all the first things came into my head, and I wish I hadn't said it because it's all,
I love I was always farming related.
All right, now you have to compliment me, but make it sound like an insult. You have to do tone and inflection, man.
Again, all right, okay. So
voice acting.
I see voice acting. Jesse, teen, hustle, hybrid.
What did you say?
You need help?
I said, Jesse, you're really, really nice.
I got a question for you, Owen. Well, my eldest son is reconnecting with his Welsh roots because he's in a very multicultural class in Canada. And, you know, people are celebrating Diwali. There's kids with turning up, you know, in traditional dress during like the Chinese New Year celebrations. So he's kind of like, hey, what are my roots? And he's really kind of been exploring his Welsh roots because he doesn't remember a lot about Wales. And I was trying to show him the national anthem, and I assume you're going to tell me that I get it wrong. So I was going to wonder if you could help me do the anthem.
Yeah, better. Of course.
Not sing it. But so I would pronounce it.
I'm not going to make you sing.
No. My hen wlad fynadau yn oily mi. Did I get that first line right or wrong?
Okay, so it's my hen wlad fynadau, which you pretty much got right. But then you said yn oily mi. It's not yn oil. It's yn anwyl i mi.
Yn anwyl i
mi. My hen wlad fynhadau yn anwyl i mi. The old land of my fathers is dear to me.
Okay, and then wlad baidd a chantorion yn wogion o fri.
Not far off. Pretty good. Gwlad beirdd. You said beirdd, so beirdd.
Beirdd, there we go.
Gwlad beirdd a chantorion, a land...
We'll go through the whole song.
Right, okay. Don't do the rest.
I Grurol Revelwyn Glad Garw Tramad.
Okay, so you've stumbled over the Revelwyr, which means fighters, effectively. So it's a Gurol Revelwyr. Revelwyr.
A Gurol Revelwyr.
Yeah. Glad Garwyr Tramad. Lovers
Glad
of
Gawyr
country.
Tramad.
Glad Garwyr Tramad. Yeah.
I'll do the last line of this verse now. Trosryddydd goslath... Trosryddydd golasant I gwaed.
No, you were pronouncing the double L as an L. So trosryddydd
golasant. Golasant. Oh, I missed the T as well. Golasant. I gwaed.
Dros ryddid collasant ei gwaed. Oh, for freedom, they shed their blood.
Yeah, Jesse, it's your turn. You do one.
I can't do it, and I really compliment you for trying, Reese. I couldn't do any. We're close to you doing, but
Reese, entirely recognizable as the national anthem the way you did it.
Really? I mean, yeah. Like, it sounded like Reese had a head injury and a mouthful of marbles. So, like,
Owen does it more convincingly. It comes convincingly out of Owen's face, whereas I do sound like I'm butchering something.
Give me like a really simple one.
Yeah, okay, teach Jesse a phrase. I'll teach Jesse a nice phrase.
What are we thinking here?
My name's Jesse, and I like podcasts.
My name is Jesse. So my name is Jesse. It's a bit strange, but it, that's the way.
My name is Jesse. Jesse.
Yeah. Ruin.
Is that right?
Hoffy. Yeah, that's perfect. Ruin hoffy podled yadai.
Okay, one more time.
Ruin hoffy. I like.
Ruin hoffy. Do I really have to roll that R that long? Ruin hoffy.
Do I roll really long?
You do.
Well, I don't know if it's long or not. You tell me.
It's the tip of your tongue. Ruin hoffy. Ruin hoffy. No, just ruin. Ruin is fine. Ruin hoffy.
Ruin hoffy.
Pod led yadai. Yeah, you got it. And you even got some flash at the end for no reason.
Pod len?
Not led.
Pod led hafai. That sounds
not
good.
Yadai. Pod
yadai.
Led,
oh my god.
Yadai.
Pod yed ladai.
Pod led yadai.
Pod led yadai.
Pod led?
Jesus.
Pod led okay. Yadai.
I'm so sorry, dear listener.
And a single podcast is Podlediad.
Podlediad. Podlediad.
So that's an interesting question, I think, that I'm about to ask. Usually other people say it's interesting or not, but I'm going to preface this question by telling you it's already interesting. When podcasting wasn't around until like 20 years ago, less than that. So like, did someone invent the Welsh name like for a word for podcasting or podcast?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, casting has always been a thing, isn't it? You had witches casting spells, so
and fishing rods,
and exactly, and fishing rods. So the idea of podcasting is just a portmanteau of the terminology for an iPod and, you know, broadcasting, isn't it? Whereas
it's exactly what it is, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. So what we've done is the Welsh has taken a form of that and run with it. Of course, the iPod is a brand name, so why would you change the pod at the start? You just leave it as is because it was an Apple brand name. And then Yadai, it would have been to broadcast something is darllediad in Welsh, broadcast, darllediad. So you take the ediad off the end and you add the pod to the front, so it's you'd remove the darll. You add yed to pod and it's podlediad. So
podlediad.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're asking the right questions, but I think you've got to think also about the fact that podcasting was not a word that was manufactured up to nothing. It's just a portmanteau of two other words.
Oh, cool. Neat. I've learned something.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm just deconstructing the English language for you as well.
I got a cool, you did both languages.
Yeah, I did both simultaneously. You did both. And I was taught in Welsh from the age of three, Jesse.
There we go. interesting thing. I don't know if you know about this, Owen, but when they sent peacekeepers into the former Yugoslavia, the British Army got all the Welsh speakers to operate the radios because they realized their radios were being intercepted, and they needed a language that only people from the British Isles could understand. And I heard a news story that they would just get Welsh speakers to run the radios because there wasn't much of a chance of anyone working out what language they were talking.
I've heard this before. I've heard, not amazing. Necessarily about the former Yugoslavia, but in the Second World War, they did similar. They did it in the US with the Navajo Nation.
Yeah, the Wind Talkers, is other film?
Yeah, that's the one. Wind Talkers. So the Navajo language, whatever the Navajo language is called, it's probably Navajo for all I know, but they use that language as a way of mass communication, but with a potentially small footprint on the other side. Of course, Reese, if Yugoslavian war had actually been in Argentina, like the Falkland War, we couldn't really have used Welsh because there's an area of Argentina and Chile called Patagonia, and there's an area of Patagonia where they actually speak Welsh, which is remarkable.
Wow. Is it like 30,000 people?
Yeah, it's about people? That. There's a range of places there called in the Chubut region of Argentina.
How did that happen?
Well,
they got lost. There was a rugby tour.
They got really lost on a rugby tour, yeah. Yeah, they got super, super lost. Well, what happened, Jesse, when they were flying on their dragons?
It was survival. It wasn't like we're going to go and conquer somewhere. It was like, hey, if we stay here, they're going to destroy our culture. Let's go.
It was literally that. It was they'll destroy our way of life. They'll destroy our language. They'll destroy our churches if we stay. So let's leave and set up a new community elsewhere. And they were sold a bit of a pup by a guy who said, you've got to go to this valley. It's really fertile. It's beautiful. There's everything you need there. And they got there and were like, oh, God, it's awful. And
a lot of people died.
A lot of people died, and they had to build from scratch, but the language endured. And actually, bizarrely...
So how far away is Patagonia from Wales?
Oh, my God, it's further than you guys. Way further. It's the other end of the world. It's right down the bottom of South America.
Yeah, it's not far from, like, it's down towards the...
It's down towards the South Pole.
You're closer to the
South Pole. So a whole bunch of Welsh people were convinced by someone else to travel all the way to Patagonia because
they didn't have the internet in those days, so they couldn't check.
They didn't have Google Maps to plan.
If you're gonna go that far away, you've got to go on a bit of faith alone, you know. And you pay your money and you
map quest.
It's like all these people who left Ireland when with the potato famine and went to New York and found that the opportunities afforded them were just not the opportunities they thought they were going to be, and then make their own way. But sometimes when you get those challenges, you deal with it, don't you? I guess. Now there are tea rooms in town, in little villages and towns called Trelew, named after a man called Lewis. So Trelew, so it's a shortening or contraction of Lewis. Tre means town, so town of Lewis, Trelew. But these places exist today. You can go on Wikipedia and have a look at it, and they... You know, the Patagonian flag is a red dragon because the red dragon is the national symbol of Wales. The red dragon on a blue background as opposed to a sky blue background as opposed to a red and green background. So I think it's remarkable. Some 30,000 to 70,000 speakers out there, and lots of Welsh diaspora gone out there as well. So lots of people have emigrated in the last sort of 30, 40 years to sort of try and continue those traditions over in South America, which is hell of a thing. Hell of a thing.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Apparently, didn't they ask for Welsh TV shows as well?
Yeah. And they've tried to do that as well. I know S4C, the Welsh language broadcaster, has been aiming to provide a stock of programming to them, and you know, and make sure that their streaming service is available in that region. But it's tricky because it's so far away, and rights are different depending on your host internet provider. But things, you know, this magic can be achieved. But it's a bit like, it reminds me of your Saint-Pierre and Miquelon episode. You know, you've got a French enclave in what is effectively Canada. I mean, to all intents and purposes, they are so much nearer Atlantic Canada than they are France. Just off the coast of Newfoundland, I think.
I think it's great, though. I love the fact they've got Renaults and Peugeots.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you dropped in on Google Maps and taken a look on Saint-Pierre and Miquelon?
Oh my God, it's only technically not part of Newfoundland. It's Newfoundland.
Exactly.
You know, so you look at the map, looks, like,
I mean, the sort of wooden clapboard houses are a traditional vernacular of that sort of region as opposed to those nations. But every shopfront, every house, every car, they're all French. It's, you know, there are Renaults. In Peugeots, it's not a Canadian car, a Renault, by any stretch of the imagination. So, yeah, I think it's remarkable. I had a really good look around Saint-Pierre and Miquelon.
I never thought I'd say this, but since I moved to Canada, I miss my Skoda. I had a Skoda, and I miss it. Just can't get a Skoda yet.
Can you not buy a Skoda?
Is that like a cream for your rash that you were talking about?
No, Skoda is a Czechoslovakia. Oh no, well, it was Czechoslovakia. Is the Czech Republic is a car brand?
Or they've changed the name again, Reese. They're called Czechia now.
Czechia. Well, that's even Czechia. That's better.
I believe so. Anyway, I believe so.
Well, sounds Czechia. Like an insult. Go well, check maybe, yourself.
Maybe not to them, but
no. I think they've changed the name again. And also, San Pier Miquelon is one of the only is available as an emoji flag.
Really?
What?
Genuinely,
really?
On your emoji keyboard, the San Pier Miquelon flag is available. It's I cannot understand why.
That's the only like some countries don't recognize the existence of other countries, but if you've got an emoji, you are real.
Effectively, yeah. Effectively.
Yeah, that's the only standard there is these days.
That's amazing.
Owen,
yeah,
Owen, you
Reese.
When I left, the independence movement in Wales was still pretty flat, but I've perceived just from online and you being going to rallies and stuff, is it becoming an actual thing or is it just me looking at, am I just getting like a curated feed that makes me think that it is a thing?
Yeah, I think you're getting a bit of a curated feed, although there was a poll November 2 years ago, and it was 33% of people in Wales would vote for independence if there was a referendum tomorrow.
That's way higher than it used to be.
Oh, that's way higher. That's up from about 5-6%. I mean, it's way higher. Yeah, funny, if I was, I worked, because I run a social media consultancy and agency, I worked across.
You should plug it. What's it called? You should
it's
plug
called
it.
Simmel.
In case anyone needs...
It's called Simmel. SIML. Owen, I actually work with,
Owen worked with Lenny. Owen worked with Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, you told me that. That's cool.
Yeah, in a very tangential way, just to be clear. But I was
still,
looking at an email with Lenny Kravitz. It was a bit odd.
So what's your website?
There's nothing on my website bar my phone number. I don't need advertising. I just do word of mouth. If you go my Twitter feed, you'll see why. I'm good for work. I'm good for work. But I worked across an independence movement. It was called Yes Cymru, the largest movement. And I was working with them from November 2019 till January 2020, right in the middle of COVID, right as COVID started. And we brought in 4 months of my tenure, the membership went up from 2,000 to 18,000 members.
And,
yeah, I know, it was great. And the each paying about £2 a month. And if you extrapolate the additional number of members to the amount they were paying per month, that's an extra £260,000, £250,000 in their coffers that year. It was amazing.
They should have bought a tank.
They should have bought a tank. should have bought a jet or something. Yeah, I think it cost a bit more than that. But you're right. I mean, there's always been a bubbling under, and it's driven by things like the flooding of the valley, the flooding of Capel Celyn, the valley to provide water to Liverpool. It's driven by these injustices perceived by the people of Wales upon Wales. And there are plenty of people who go, oh, or whatever. But there's other people who go, well, no, hang on a minute. Hang on.
Right.
Why does this keep happening? It shouldn't be like this. So one of my main aims is to drive some confidence, not just an awareness of, but also confidence in Wales and in our story and our background and what we're capable of, because we're a small nation. But we're way bigger than Estonia, and they're independent. We're way bigger than many countries in the world. Iceland, we're 10 times the size of Iceland, and they're an independent nation. It's small on a map, but not small when you consider it when it comes to other countries as well and other independent countries in the world.
So Owen is fighting and building confidence. I just ran away and became Canadian.
I don't know who got I don't know who got the better deal after Brexit, to be honest with you. I have my moments of deep-seated envy, believe you me.
Like when I post videos of bears trying to get in my house.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wish a bear was going to try and eat me, or a tree was going to fall on me.
Recently, I'm on WhatsApp, and he's sending me pictures of him roaring around the garden in a dumper truck. Or a small digger. And I'm thinking, if I could get a digger in through my back gate, that would be an amazing thing indeed.
I got another Welsh translation. Can you do what is clam juice and why is it in my cocktail?
did you say clam juice?
Yeah.
Yep. Have you
heard of the Caesar, haven't you? Jesse, tell him what a Caesar is.
A Caesar is, I'm trying to think of the alcohol. I think it's vodka with tomato juice, spices, and clam juice. Clam juice.
It's a breakfast cocktail that Canadians invented.
So what do you need to say?
You stick a piece of celery in it too.
What's the translation? what do I need to say?
What did I say? I've forgotten.
Why is there clam juice in my cocktail?
Yes, that'll do.
Pam vona sydd cregyn balchog yn fy nghocktail.
But you have to put an inflection on it, like really curious.
Okay then, fine. Pam vona sydd cregyn balchog yn fy nghocktail, Jesse.
Here I am just trying to give like a little bit of a voice dialect coaching, and you turned yourself into a Dungeons and Dragons wizard. Okay, just like,
no, this is a Dungeons and Dragons wizard. Jesse, pam fwna sydd cregin bwchog yn hoctel.
You should get Owen on your Dungeons and Dragons night to do everything.
Oh my God, what was that? What did you just say?
I said, why is there clam juice in my cocktail? Exactly what you're trying to say.
It sounded like you were casting some kind of amazing spell.
Yeah, no. Exactly. What you asked me to do.
Yeah. Was it Tolkien used the Welsh language for elven in Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Was it elven?
Is that true? Oh, that's yeah, it I is, didn't know it is, that.
It is true. There's a lot of... J.R.R. Tolkien said... what did he say? What's the famous quote he came out with? Welsh is the original language of the men of Britain, and Welsh is beautiful, is what he said. Something along those lines.
Aww. Did you hear what David Hasselhoff said about Wales?
No. Are you asking me or Jesse?
You know I don't know. Come on.
I have a vague recollection, but I can't remember exactly what he said.
The first time I went to Wales, I thought I'd landed in a land of hobbits. Everybody was really small, and the houses were small, and the writing was backwards. David Hasselhoff.
And then he married a girl from Neath. Was she Merthyr? It was one of the two. Yeah. I mean, they're not far away from each other, are they? They're not far away from each other. They're about the same distance as Dartmouth to I don't know anywhere else in Halifax.
Enfield. Probably.
There we are. Enfield and Dartmouth. Sorted. No, funnily enough, clams in Welsh are cregyn bylchog, which literally means boxy... shells. Boxy shells.
Boxy shells.
I love the fact you laughed at that, Jesse. It's not good knowledge, but cregyn bylchog, sort of boxy shells, which is what a clam is in Welsh.
So
to come back to your idea of Podlediad, we do have words for things that predate the existence of the English language. So, for example, a window in English.
Hold on, did you say predate the English language itself?
Oh God, yeah. Welsh is way older than English language. Way older.
Not know that at all. What?
That's what I said there earlier on. Well, the English
you probably
language is,
did. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. No, that's fine. The English. This is why you don't learn anything. The English language is a fairly new invention in terms of the history of the world. It's a range of Germanic languages and Romance languages sort of smashed together. I mean, Welsh as a language is one of the original languages of the island of Britain. So the Brittonic language, which predated it, goes.
That's about 10,000.
Yeah, centuries old. The Romans, wow. You know, the Romans arrived in the island of Britain and the Welsh was there, you know, the Welsh people were there before that. So the Welsh language is way, way older. But we have words that we've nicked off Latin as well. So fenêtre, which means window in English, fenêtre, and in French, of course, a window is fenêtre.
Fenêtre.
So fenêtre and fenêtre. And I think pretty sure that Spanish and Portuguese have got similar origins as well. But of course, English
which is where
has
I,
to be
I'm
different.
Fairly certain. Which is where I'm fairly certain my favorite English word originates from. My favorite English word being defenestrate, to throw out of a window.
this is it. This is it. Defenestrate is a, well, effectively a French word, isn't it? Defenestrate, to throw out of window. And yet, window is, mm-hmm. I think something like Swain's Eye. That's where it comes from. So this god.
I'm really quite upset,
north,
by the way, that there's no refenestrate.
Well, to throw back, and you throw somebody out, and then a group of people with like a big like sheet bounce them back through.
Exactly. It's, yeah, like, they're refenestrated. Back,
it's effectively the two guys
through the window. Yeah,
it's those two guys you see in black and white movies walking across the street. Those are the refenestrators, aren't they? And then the mime just appears and puts his hands against the window.
Exactly.
It sounds like the Refenestrators, like some kind of television show from the 70s. I love it. So, anyway,
oh,
sorry,
yeah, and it was probably really racist as well.
Jesse, have you got any examples then of words that everyday objects or ways of describing things that are, when you actually translate to English, are quite entertaining? Like a box of shells or boxy shell. Is.
So what you're asking me is, are there any words in Welsh that when you translate them are completely nuts?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So,
yes.
An owl in Welsh. There are two words for owl in Welsh, depending where in Wales you're from. There's tylluan, or there's the even better one, which is based on the noise an owl makes, and it's goody hoo. Goody hoo! Goody hoo!
That's literally just the name.
Goody-hoo. That's awesome.
I can't translate it because it's literally goody who. It's like a Twitter who. You just call call it what it sounds like. There's bochdew. Bochdew is a hamster, but bochdew is literally fat cheeks. Bochdew, fat cheeks. Oh, tew is fat, by the way. And
call your girlfriend that next time, dear listener.
Oh, yeah, dear God, she'll love it. Don't call her that. Do you know what spinach is in Welsh, Jesse? Spinach in Welsh.
I do not.
Spigoglis.
Spigoglis.
Spot on.
What's the translation?
There is literally no translation for it. It's literally the translation of spinach. It didn't mean anything in English. It's just a really delightful word. One of my favourite words is...
It is a delightful word, yeah.
It is a delightful word, spigoglis. One of my favourite words is sponken, which literally is a squash or I think it's also a grasshopper. But sponken. It's not a grasshopper, sorry. Sponken. But it does sound, if you were, I mean, they may not say bonking in Canadian English, but certainly it sounds like something very rude you would do here.
I've always found the word for fish entertaining. Pascod.
Pascod, yeah.
Pascod?
Pascod, the god of pus.
Ew.
No, that is literally not what it means.
Eat supper.
That's what you do when you take Welsh and you take English and you apply it to a word and go,
that's exactly
no,
what
it
I
must
did. I'm not saying it's right. But.
Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Mana mana monkey.
Mana mana monkey.
Yeah. Mana mana monkey. It means
mana mana monkey.
It effectively translates as might as well do that. Mana mana monkey.
Mana mana
but
monkey.
It's literally man a monkey.
Mana mana monkey. Might as well.
What are you describing? A monkey?
No, you're not describing anything. You're saying the words. If you took each individual word and translated it to English, you would be saying man, a monkey. But it means in Welsh, might as well.
Might as
mana mana monkey. Mana mana monkey.
Mana mana monkey.
So let's put all these funny words together. What was the one before fish?
Spigoglis, wasn't it? Spigoglis?
Spigoglis.
Oh, no. Or was it, was it bochdew?
Yeah, yes. What are the English words again?
Bochdew was hamster.
Bochdew was hamster. Yeah. Spigoglis was spinach.
Yeah, pascod was fish. And then mana monkey. Goody who was an owl.
Goody who. On morons. You know
moron.
You know what? You know what a moron is, don't you?
Oh, it rings a bell. I can't remember.
Come on. You eat it. Jesse, you eat a moron.
Carrots.
What is it? Carrots.
That's it.
So you, Jesse, would say moron for carrot. Someone who's an idiot, but we would call that's a carrot for us.
That's the same, word for a carrot.
Same spelling as well. Same spelling. Oh, and so here's a good one. Here's a really good one for you. So the word for cockerel or rooster is ceiliog. Now, which cereal do you know with a cockerel? Kellogg's. Kellogg's. Ceiliog. So the guy, that Mr. Kellogg himself, was, I gather, a fan of languages. It's not, I'm not entirely clear in my head, but he came across the Welsh word for rooster and thought ceiliog, rooster, ceiliog, was very similar to Kellogg. And as a result, decided to put a rooster on the front of the box. And now that's one of the most iconic pieces of imagery in branding is that rooster. And it's all based on a Welsh word. But the other Welsh word that is that you use every single, well, you use whenever you talk about wintry places where the weather is very cold, is penguin. Because
is penguin a Welsh word?
Penguin. Penguin. When the sailors first spotted these white-headed birds, they called them whiteheads. Penguin. Penguin. And penguin became anglicized as P-E-N. It would have been P-E-N-G-W-Y-N. Penguin. Whitehead. And then it became anglicized over time, turned into the English language of P-E-N-G-U-I-N. So penguin.
I mean, I don't use that word every day, but
I was going to say, of course you don't. Of course you don't. But you.
Okay, so let's jam a bunch of these. Let's jam a bunch of these words together in a sentence. Can you say in Welsh, "The rooster ate the carrot. The rooster ate the carrot. The fish ate the spinach. Might as well give the hamster to the owl."
No, because I can't remember what you said first, so I'm just going to write that down, and then I will translate
it on the fly. Ate the carrot.
The rooster ate the carrot. The fish ate the spinach. Feed the hamster to the owl.
Might as well feed hamster to owl.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you want me to say is the rooster ate the carrot, the fish ate the spinach, you might as well feed the hamster to the owl. And now I will say that in Welsh. Mae'r ceiliog di bitter moron, mae'r pysgodin di bitter spigoglis. Mae'n amar mwnci bod i'n bwydo'r bochte i'r goody hw.
That was amazing. You did that so quickly.
Yay. That was amazing. Oh. Yeah. Well,
you speak both languages. I'm not translating in my head. It's just one.
Thank you for doing this,
the
Owen. And Owen is
thank you.
Owen is a powerhouse on Twitter. Oh, welcome. Do you want people to follow you on Twitter if they've enjoyed?
Oh, they can. I would be delighted to receive them into my chariot of wisdom.
What is your Twitter called?
I don't know why chariot. I want to say chapel, but I said chariot instead.
Chariot. It's like a moving. It's like a moving chapel.
Weird thing to say. It's on Twitter. I'm Owes Wills. OWSWILLS. Owes Wills.
Do you feel learned now, Jesse?
So learned. My brain is
so Jesse. Whenever I do, I do conferences, but. What is the one thing you've taken away with you today?
Might as well is Manna Monkey. That's what I've taken away. Oh, and that there's a huge, huge speaking Welsh population in South Africa, in Patagonia.
South America.
South America.
You were close.
You're very different.
I was very close.
Different continent. Different continent.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.